Hello, listeners, and welcome to Professional Idiots, a podcast about cheeses. This week, we'll be focusing on cheeses from the northern French region, bordering on Belgium, and then we'll take a look at kind of the southern French regions and their cheeses, and I think you'll find that there's a stark and shocking difference. So shocking that you might be forced to consider changing your job and moving to a different country and really just looking at yourself in a totally different light. I'm Aaron Simon, joined, as always, by Bradley Whitaker, and via telephone, Christopher Flynn, and we also have a special guest, Doug Siegel. Hello, Doug.
Hello, Aaron. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Whoa, that was a very... Whew. Man, thanks for snapping us out of that, because I don't know how long I could have kept going there. This is Professional Idiots, and Flynn's on his phone or something like that, so we're...
Remind me why I called into this again?
Hey, I told you we had this, and you joined and ruined everything, if you don't recall. So,
We've been off to a swimming start thus far.
We have been, thank you very much. So we're all coming off Thanksgiving, and I think we're all still kind of drunk. Brad, do you guys do Thanksgiving over yonder?
We don't, but my family's nice enough to, ask about our culture and then kind of accommodate. So yeah, we had Thanksgiving dinner with, her family. So it was really nice. It wasn't like American traditional, but she roasted chicken, so it was pretty good. It's just kind of a combined Japanese American meal. But yeah, it was nice. They did that for me, and otherwise it's not really a thing over here.
Nice. But Flynn, how about you? What'd you guys do for Thanksgiving?
So we split, as our families are in two different locations, and we spent Thanksgiving Day here in Chicago with my folks, and then headed down the day after to see her family and bake some cookies.
Nice. Very nice. And Doug, so how about you tell us what you did for Thanksgiving, what you're thankful for, and then something about yourself.
Wow. Loaded questions. I don't know if I can handle that anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Just going to have a breakdown, start crying.
It's true. So for Thanksgiving, normally what my family does, I'm originally from Denver. That's something about me. But normally my brother lives in Los Angeles. I normally fly down to see him, and my mom comes from Denver, and we meet in Los Angeles for Thanksgiving. It did not happen this year, so I just went to a friend's family for Thanksgiving. It was wonderful. What I'm thankful for? Oh, man. So many different things I'm thankful for 2016. I'm thankful for all the friends I have in Portland, with the exception of Aaron Simon. What?
Yeah. That's normal. I don't think anyone's thankful for me.
That's fine.
Just own up to it, man. It's okay.
Yeah. Hey, I said it. It's recorded, so it's on the record now. And let's see. I'm also thankful for... Man, I'm sorry. I know this is not a podcast about college football, but my Colorado Buffaloes just won their own division, which is astounding. So,
oh, I didn't even see that. I was going to watch that game, and I just forgot about it. Well, that's cool. And my girlfriend went to school there. My girlfriend.
Oh, right on.
Jesus Christ. My wife
went to school. Get your shit together,
Brad. Yeah, my wife went there, so I told her about that, and she's like, oh, okay. She didn't care. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it's a great turnaround. They were 1-8 in the Pac-12 last season. Now they're 8-1, and they won the division. So
yeah, whose soul gets consumed for that? Like, I heard someone sold their soul. I'm just
somebody
what
made a
changed?
Deal. Well, the head coach, his name is Mike McIntyre. He changed the culture around, and you're right. You know. Nothing can really explain this except a deal with the devil itself. So, yeah, we can just go with that. Maybe the quarterback sold his soul for, like, an astounding season that he's had. Very efficient. His name is Sefo Lufau. So, yeah, he's probably the culprit.
Definitely him.
Yep, definitely him. Totally him. So, yeah, that's what I am thankful for.
Nice. So what do you tell us? Why did we bring you on the podcast?
Oh, man. Your guess is as good as mine on that one.
No, so you work in the banking sector.
Correct. Would you like me to tell you what company I work for? It's not the one with the station wagon and horses. Station wagon, wow, the regular wagon and horses.
Station wagon. That's Wells Fargot.
That's Wells Fargot. They're the ones having the issues right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The CEO is not really that good of a guy.
And it's definitely affecting the rest of the bank world. No, I work for U.S. Bank. I've been working there since 2009, so about 7 years now. Started in retail banking. Actually, the first 5 years was all in the in-store, so the grocery store retail branches. And then I got promoted down to Portland to be in the back office where I supported the bankers from a call center standpoint. So what I do is that I work at a call center not for customers but for employees of the bank. And I actually just got recently promoted to where I'm now a lead of that department. So,
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
So, how long have you been in the
banking world?
Industry? Yes.
Overall, now 10 years. I started with Chase back in 2006, right after college. So, yeah, banking's been my whole career ever since I graduated. So, I've seen a lot of interesting stuff in the banking world, particularly recently with this whole Wells Fargot thing. You know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to say Wells Fargo.
I think we're okay. You don't have to mask it. It's in the news.
So, yeah, all the complaint calls go to Flynn.
Yeah. So that's part of the reason why Flynn was a little bit late. I think we had a higher volume than usual following our last podcast. So thanks, Flynn, for handling those. We really kind of appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, see, he's gone quiet now because he's handling another call. So, thanks for coming down to Professional Idiots Core Tower here in Portland. It's very, very tough to...
Where we all are in the same place?
Yeah. always in the same thing. So, yeah.
Hello, I'm back.
Oh, hey, there we go. Flynn's back. Hi, Flynn.
Welcome back, Flynn.
Yeah. So, we were saying, thanks for handling all the complaint calls that come in on a regular basis, especially after our last episode.
Yeah, he doesn't know the context, Aaron.
No, it's fine. it's fine. It's fine. He can handle it. He's a smart guy. So, I was thinking, one of the things that you come out of college and you don't really, unless you've been working through college, then you don't really have a lot of backing or foundation on the whole money thing. So what kind of advice do you have for folk?
Good question. You know, I thought about that when you asked me that initially in your email. And, you know, as after college young professionals come out, they're all about, you know, just getting the account and letting the bankers like kind of do the work. When in reality, the customers are supposed to be empowering themselves to actually, you know, check their balances, make sure everything's in the right order. And more importantly than not, making sure that they're taking advantage of what the banking is offering. And I think that's definitely something I've learned over the last 10 years is that there's a lot of offers in the banking world that not enough people are taking advantage of, specifically on, I believe, on credit cards. Are you guys familiar with like multiple rewards credit cards? Do you guys have them?
I don't trust myself enough with that.
I don't have a credit card.
Yeah, I've got a very low limit credit card.
I've got one.
I have many. I've got many.
So, you've got many. Okay. So,
I play the game.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. This is kind of what I'm kind of alluding to here when I'm what's the best way to describe this? Can I use an example of my bank, actually? I don't know.
Yeah. Flynn, can you check our bylaws and see if that contradicts anything?
I mean, I don't give a shit. If you get fired, that's your own problem.
Perfect.
There we go. That's great from our bylaws.
I'll take that risk on this podcast. So with my bank, about a few years back, we rolled out this cash card. And it was a great card in that not a lot of people knew about the kind of extra bonuses that came with it. So that if you saved up, if you got like $100 worth of cash back, it was like different categories. You know, you had 5%, 2%, 1% categories. And once you saved up to $100 worth of cash back and then redeemed that $100 cash back, you would get an extra $25 from the bank as a way of saying, congratulations, you saved up to $100. Here's an extra $25. And every time you filled up that $100 buck and then redeemed it, you would get that $25. So people took very good advantage of that at the time. And then the bank was like, you know what? We're kind of losing money on this. So they cracked down on that a lot. And now a lot of people weren't interested in it anymore. But to circle around back, the point is that when banks introduce a new credit card, there's going to be offers for customers to definitely take advantage of without, you know, costing them much. That's the thing. Yeah. Not.
So Flynn, you said that you use multiple variants of that. Who do you bank with, and what kind of stuff do you do?
I mean, I bank with one of the Gigantors.
Mm-hmm.
But then multiple cards. So Discover, Visa, Amex, the Citi double points. So then use the different categories to get more than 1% cash back across the board.
Yep.
What's probably like the credit card that you don't check the most, and what's the credit card number?
And do you have the security code handy?
Yeah,
I do. I'll get that right to you guys.
Cool. Thanks. And, what's your date of birth?
This sounds like a scam to me.
I mean,
expiration date.
Here's my thing: is I just want to know when your birthday is, so I can get you gifts.
Okay. Yeah, gifts.
I don't trust you.
So Flynn, you sound like you take advantage. Do you pay off your balances on all these credit cards?
Yep.
Okay.
And I mean, that helps with some of those with the double points, is you have to pay it off to get the extra reward.
Right. And that's Discover, right? That does that, I believe?
Citi,
okay. I don't keep track of all the banks except for my own, of course, because I work for U.S. Bank, so.
Well, you bastards have my car, so.
Oh, well, sorry? Question mark? I don't know.
No, it's fine. I mean, it was what it was. It was the best. You guys had the best offer, so.
Good. But another, like, kind of piece of advice I kind of want to allude to is that people don't often check their checking account balances. And I feel that fraud and identity theft are just happening, like, once. I know this is not an actual fact, but it feels like one every three customers that I see are like have some sort of fraud, like transaction that they're not aware of, that debit their account, they don't see it for forever. So it's important to know, especially young professionals, to every once in a while, maybe an average like once a week, to just go online and make sure that the stuff that you bought is actually on there.
Yeah, that's something. So. Well, you know, it's like people who aren't really keeping up with their just passwords online or security in that sense. Because I'm kind of in that realm. It's always a little shocking to me that people are not using things that are more secure than just password as a password or something like that, or don't know about malware bytes or anything like that.
And I think my card got skimmed a while, like last year in Atlanta. I went to that Japanese market, and I think someone had set it up there. That's really the only place I used it. But my bank was pretty good. Like immediately, they were like, "Hey, why did you? You know, you don't golf. Why did you buy a new set of golf clubs?"
Why did you purchase golf balls and golf clubs in Atlanta?
Yeah, in Florida.
In Florida.
I was like, that's not me.
Yeah.
And they took care of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, credit card companies and banks are going to suspend any transactions that they feel is out of normal historical range. We definitely do that. But obviously, for like local stuff, if, again, kind of bring back to the point here, that if you not like checking your balances and somebody like needs to use your card or a merchant uses as a reauthorization, then after the fact that you've canceled it, that's the most frequent that I've seen. Like a gym, for example, a gym membership, even though you've canceled like a couple months ago, still charges your card.
Yeah, and that stuff
still
is
zero. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my bank in the UK was really. I still think they have NatWest was the bank. I think they still believe that I have an account with them because I occasionally get an email from NatWest about the status of my account, and I know for a fact that I've closed it 3 times.
Oh wow!
With various people. Yeah, it's fun, and yeah, I'm with USAA, and I've had absolutely zero problems with them. They're absolutely solid.
USAA is a very good. Very good bank. You're in good hands on that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
don't fuck with military banks. That's
general rule. I think
general
you could
rule
leave,
number one. There.
I think you could leave like the banks part off of that and just replace it with anything. So like don't fuck with military anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So you know you have always struck me as one of the rare few people who actually like their job. So what do you like about it? I mean, seriously, because I think most outside of Portland, because Portland's a weird place where it seems like everyone's dreams come true except for mine. But like you,
well, I mean, with that attitude, Aaron.
No. This is
says the guy who just got a free trip to Taiwan.
Well, yeah, right, exactly.
It's starting to change. But I had to go through 6 years of not so fun after college to get there. So, like,
what about us, Aaron? Aren't we the dream?
Yes, of course you are. Of course you are. Every day I wake up and I think, only so many more days until the next podcast. So,
I mean, that's how I start my day.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm here.
So, what do you like the most about your gig, and why do you keep?
Well, I feel that when I moved out of retail banking, that's kind of where I hit my stride professionally because, I mean, I'm not a typical, like, banker seller of products. You know, I'm all about support and training people to do their jobs properly, which is now what I do, and I love it. Fact, now I can just, like, empower people to kind of do the right thing, which in banks, as you guys are probably aware, is a very rare thing nowadays. So do the right thing for our customers and the rest will carry itself. And I'm happy to say that, that now I'm in a position to where I can now do that entirely. And gosh, my stress level has went down considerably when I moved here because, you know, obviously in the retail banking, you have sales goals that you have to meet, puts a lot of stress on something. If you're like behind your goals and here, no goals whatsoever. Your goal is to simply just help the banker do their job properly. So,
well, and that's why, isn't that basically why Wells Fargo got in such deep shit is because
absolutely.
Of just unrealistic, completely unattainable goals.
Right. And the thing about that, I just want to touch up on that. Wells Fargo did something so disastrous that they basically just I don't know how that was even possible that they did that to so many customers. I was mortified. And I've certainly seen examples within other banks where it happens just at like a branch or two, but not the whole company entirely. That blew my mind away that they were giving away all these products to these customers that they didn't want, they didn't sign up for, they didn't apply for. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. That's the stance they took.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of indicative of the constant drive toward growth of a lot of industries.
Yeah.
20%, 20%, 20%.
Yeah, and I mean, Flynn, you have to deal with a bit of that too. I mean, it's not.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm lucky that I've not had to hold any sort of retail job or sales job. Because those are not in my.
Wheelhouse
suit the wheelhouse. Yeah. I mean, I've got a lot of different kinds of wheels in my house, but none that are similar to that. So it's nice to not have to do that. But yeah. So what else? What else do you have for us? What kind of tips do you have?
Well, aside from the two that I've mentioned, I mean, this is a little bit more of an investment more than banking itself, but guys are probably, maybe I've touched on this already, but if your company offers a 401k, like, match it to the max. That's,
yeah.
Well, I think a lot of young professionals do not understand that. And so,
well, hang on. I want to get on my soapbox for 30 seconds on that.
Go.
That is something that we vehemently disagree with, like, our parents on, is that with, you know, having student loans and mm-hmm. getting married and all that kind of stuff, it is not necessarily feasibly possible for us to fully contribute to a 401k like that.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, I'm 28 years old, and, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, a couple that has, you know, the same – being in the same position that my wife's in, where there's two people that have large amounts of student loans, where, I mean, you just, how could you ever save? How can you ever attempt to put that in and not live in a shoebox down by the river? Not even a van, just a shoebox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say, like, so I managed to do a monthly contribution to a Roth IRA mm-hmm. and a 401k when I was in Nashville. And the only reason I could swing that, because I was living with my mom. And when I moved out to Portland, like, I could not, I was able to save $10 a week out of a weekly paycheck. And everything else was basically bare bones. I mean, I still went out and tried to have a social life, but...
But you still tried to be a human being.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I'm just at the point right now where I can do that. And I will say the only reason I can do that is because my company is extremely generous with healthcare. Like, my premiums are ridiculously low, which lets me...
That's great.
Yeah.
Can I ask what the damage is?
It depends on how much you want to hate me. So, like,
I'm already at a 5, Aaron, so, you know.
The basic plan is...
No one really likes you.
Fair. So, the basic plan is $0. And
wow.
Yeah, that's got... I can't remember offhand what the deductible
is. A pretty high deductible, then? Like a...
No, I mean, it wasn't egregious. It was better than what I was getting at CDI.
Okay.
And it was great. Let me rephrase all of that and say that it was very good. And it was with United Healthcare, had great coverage. Like, the copays were low. It's a solid plan. And then the
dental premium, health vision too.
Yep, dental health and vision. Those were extra, but it's not a lot. I think dental is the most expensive. But it's even that it's like 20 a paycheck.
So that's not bad at all.
No, it's not.
No, that's great.
I might be wrong on that, but I think that's about what it is. And then the premium plan, which is what I went for, is $22 a month. And it's an excellent plan. And because of that, I am able to sock away some money in the 401k matching thing that they do and continue to resume saving a bit and finally pay down my credit card, like, to the point where I was hoping to be able to several years ago. But, like, it had been at higher levels than I was comfortable with ever since I moved out to Portland. And I'm finally getting to the point where I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And part of the reason I was so high was I did not budget enough for actually moving out here. And, you know, things tend to creep up if you don't watch them. And I did not watch them.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I'm very lucky. Like, I say that, and I'm not... I want to make it clear, like, I'm not broke and constantly scraping by. Because as we were talking about earlier, like, I set the limit low on the credit card. Like, when I first
That's good.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, I set that when I was in high school, and they keep raising it without me asking, but it's not, like, high still. It's not, right. It's nowhere near what you would get at a usual credit card, like $10,000 or whatever. So, when I say that I'm finally comfortable with it, that means I could feel all right with not putting payments on it every paycheck for a little bit. But, yeah, the point being, it is very hard to get to a point where you are able to put money into the 401k.
Absolutely. And I go ahead, sorry.
No, I mean, that's basically it. Anything else I was going to add was going to be filler. Looks like that statement.
Well, I just wanted to allude to that, like, what you were saying, Flynn, is that, yeah, obviously, if you can do it, you should. But I'm not, like, saying, like, you know, everybody needs to, like, do to the full max. Like, no, that's not. Like, for a while, that wasn't in my wheelhouse, too. Like, it was maybe doing, like, 1%, and our company matches up to 5. So, but
certainly get that. I mean, my thing with it is just, you know, our older generations have been able to save money on a 401k, put savings away for a house, save for kids' college, all that kind of good stuff. Whereas, right. You know, people our age are walking out of school with anywhere from, you know, $15,000-$20,000 upwards of, you know, $150,000 worth of student debt, you know, debt depending on where they're at. And,
right.
You know, actually being able to save, just that money goes towards loans rather than towards their own bank accounts. And, you know, when people like our parents kind of, you know, have that gap of not being able to understand, like, why isn't this work? You know, why can't we do this? Why can't we save? And that's where I think we're really going to see problems is, you know, 40, 50 years from now, when a whole slew of people went through that situation of, you know, 5-6 figures worth of college loans and then a lifetime of not saving.
Yep. Agreed. I completely agree. There's definitely a gap here. And I know from speaking that, you know, my parents definitely encouraged me to save as much, but that's not as easy as it sounds. So, because of exactly your point. So
Brad, I got a question for you. Like, I think Flynn and I are both pretty. I don't know. Flynn, did you have a bank in the UK or did you use someone else?
No. I used my bank from the States because I had the transfer fees weren't that bad, and I just made sure to use my cash intelligently.
Okay.
And I was only there for like 5 months, so.
Yeah, as opposed to a year.
Yeah.
So Brad, like, how's banking in Japan? Like, what's that like?
I don't really, like, I haven't gotten a job over here on this trip, so I haven't really, had to deal with that.
You're broke is what you're saying.
I'm pretty broke. I think broke would be an upgrade for me.
Yay!
But, yeah, I was able to save up money before I came over here in the U.S., so I'm still using my bank account. The 7-Elevens over here have, like, an ATMs I can use without any extra fee. So I just use those. And, yeah, like, pretty much it's just like using an American ATM. As far as the banking system, because I had a job over here on my last go-around, that is done with the – they kind of have an electronic checkbook that you put in the machine and it kind of balances your checkbook for you kind of deal.
Wow.
So that's convenient. I've never applied for a credit card over here, but my understanding is it's pretty similar. They have loan sharks over here too. That's pretty similar. So the only thing that's really different is people tend to use cash at a much higher rate than in the States. Like, I pretty much exclusively use cash here. So, yeah, I don't don't really, that's the biggest difference, is it's mostly a cash-based society. Like, people pull out the cash they need, and then they make that cash last. And I find that's a little bit easier than just having a card, you know, like, everything's on the card, I'll worry about it later, kind of deal. But, yeah, right now I know exactly how much money I have for the rest of the month. And it's not a lot. But if I had it on a card, I'd probably be more, I don't know, it'd probably be easier to spend it if I wasn't, you know, using it as cash only. But as far as the actual mechanics of the bank, like, banking system over here is, I'm not super familiar with it yet. That's it. That's my essay.
I'll give it a C.
Well, shall we jump to the break so that way we can finish this somewhat reasonably in time?
Jeez.
Well, that way I don't.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. Fine. All right, we're going to the break. Doug, how about you give us some horns?
Horns.
Okay, don't give
us some
horns.
You're not listening to this thing.
Never mind. Flynn, go for the horns.
Good enough.
Good enough. Better than me.
Howdy again, listeners. Welcome back. I'm so glad you could join us. We just had a lovely chat about banking and money and all that jazz. So we're going to have some fun now. So I just saw a very, 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 very good movie called Arrival. It's excellent.
I've heard great things about that movie.
It's excellent.
On my list.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go into it because you definitely need to just walk into it fresh. But I'll say the thing about it is a smart sci-fi movie, and it's very similar to kind of an Arthur C. Clarke story that you would see in his heyday. And I was surprised because I went to see it at like a matinee at one of the smaller theaters in town, and it was sold out. And I was not expecting that because it's a matinee of a heady sci-fi movie. But it got me thinking about this year in movies, and it's been a pretty decent year.
We're into 2017 movies for me, so
yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to sit back on this one.
Okay.
So what are your top three, Aaron?
You know, I'm asking the question. I didn't even think to come up with a list. So I really like The Nice Guys as a comedy. That was extremely refreshing. It was well done. It wasn't improv heavy like a lot of American comedies are over the last, you know, 10 years or whatever. So that was that was a fun one. I would probably say Hell or High Water was up there. I don't know if it was top three, but that was a fun, smaller, modern Western that I definitely...
Deadpool?
Huh?
Deadpool?
Yeah, like, I like Deadpool a lot, but I don't know that I would...
You laughed a lot when we saw it.
I did. Yeah, I did, but I don't think I would... Considering I couldn't remember that it came out this year and it didn't pop
Well, I'm
in.
Looking at the top grossing list of the year and I'm a little surprised as to what all is on here.
Yeah, well, The Witch was excellent. And if you have not seen The Witch, you really need to see it. What else? It's been a pretty good year for movies. Deadpool was fun.
I would say it's been a good year, not a great year.
Yeah, well,
because of the very reason that we're struggling to come up with like a holy crap home run movie.
So, well, for me, like part of it is my memory is kind of gone to shit recently because I've just been burned out and busy all the time. But I don't think that's because of the quality of the movies. It's just because I can't remember what came out this year or what came out the year before. But The Revenant was very good. That came
2015,
out.
Sorry. Yeah.
That was 2015.
See, there we go. Case in point. I don't remember shit.
I think Aaron's still on the brain about Mad Max. How many times have you seen that now from 2015, maybe?
Dude, I don't. I've lost count. Like, they came out with the black and chrome edition. That's the black and white one.
And oh, cool.
So I went and saw that, and that was... The thing about that is part of the fun of Mad Max Fury Road is that the colors are so, like, stark and vibrant. And while, like, that in black and white is pretty cool, it's... You lose part of what made it, so stellar. But, Arrival is up there in terms of top three quality movies. And I'm also going to say Suicide Squad.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Certainly. Miles ahead of everything else.
It was such a piece of cinema. I don't think anyone could do anything similar to that. I mean, Orson Welles, fuck you. You're a piece of shit, Orson Welles. You don't know shit. Yeah. Suicide Squad, motherfucker. So, yeah. I think, it's been a pretty good year. And you've had some really... I think it's been a good year if you've gone out of the major big releases. So, like, Green Room was fantastic. And that featured Anton Yelchin. And that came out... like 5 months before he died, I guess. But it was a just spectacular movie. How about you guys?
I'm out. I'll give you the top three movies I've seen this year, whether they count this year or not.
Sure.
I really enjoyed Jungle Book.
Oh, Jungle Book was really good.
And I haven't seen a lot of movies, so it may be a combination of the fact that I have really shitty taste and I haven't seen a lot of movies. So hang with me here. Cause I got that movie. I like animation. Like, I'm kind of impartial to animation. I really enjoyed Zootopia. I'll go Civil War. Why not?
I like Civil War, but I was talking to my brother about it over Thanksgiving break, and I think what I liked about it was it had a lot of individual elements that were good, but if those were just standalone scenes, it would have been good, but as like a coherent whole, it was, it didn't stick.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't... Like, I'm looking at movies, and here's the... I mean, as I'm seeing it, I'll tell you. Sausage Party, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kung Fu Panda 3, Don't Breathe, The Shallows, Alice Through the Looking Glass.
I heard The Shallows was actually all right.
Yeah, but we're not getting that until, 2020, so...
Oh.
I mean, so I just... I kind of...
How about 10 Cloverfield Lane? Did that come out over there?
No. Because I want to see that. I heard John Goodman's excellent in that.
Yeah, it was really good.
And then I saw Fantastic Beasts yesterday.
What'd you think?
Perfectly fine popcorn movie.
Yeah, we saw it as well.
I liked it. I didn't know that was... I mean, I don't know what's spoiler territory and what's not. I didn't know that was the story they were going to tell until...
I forgot the new Godzilla movie.
Not a lot of people did. I mean, that was kind of the whole thing with that.
Yeah, and then I liked that. I was okay with that. That was a positive for me. Because I thought it was just going to be about the title, the beast, and where to find them. How are we going to find these beasts is what I thought it was going to be about. But yeah. So... But yeah, a good movie. I'm sorry, I kind of derailed us. Top movies 2016. We have two people left to go.
Did you see the new Godzilla movie?
No.
Oh, dude, it was so good.
I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm so poor, Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Fantastic Beasts because it was free.
Yeah. Fair. That's fair.
But yeah, maybe. I will see it. I want to.
Okay, Flynn.
Yeah, hang on 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right,
back
done.
In 2
Go.
Seconds. There's already been some movies I've mentioned that were really good. I agree with you, Aaron, that The Nice Guys, I saw that in Denver when I was visiting my family. I loved that movie. I thought Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe were hilarious together. So
yeah.
That was well good. Brad, I'm with you on Civil War. For me, it's not at the level of Mad Max with Aaron, but I'm close to it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yours was Ant-Man, right? That was the one that you were...
I did not see that one 9 times in the theaters All like right. you
well,
did with Mad Max.
Okay.
I came close to it with Civil War, though. And for me, I grew up with the Marvel comics, so that's why my nerdness in me like came out with these movies. So anyway, I enjoyed it. But there's a third one that was not mentioned that I will say I really enjoyed, and it was an indie comedy called Don't Think Twice. And it is a movie about an improv troupe in New York City that's very small.
Oh, that's with
Jillian Jacobs, Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
That's on my list. I'm very excited for that to hit Netflix because I missed it in the theaters.
Okay. Well, I won't. I may have already said too much, but it's about an improv troupe. And
no, my podcast loop gets. I'm well informed as to what the movie's about.
Oh, okay, fair enough. For your guys' listeners who are not familiar with it, I thought it was really well done in that how everybody reacts to when one of the characters makes it big, and their character developments as this person makes it big is. Just all sorts of different emotional takes. So I really liked it. I thought the improv was really well done too.
Nice.
Is it actual improv? I'm just curious.
Well,
is it skipped
I think
improv?
I want to say it's probably a little bit of both. I want to think for a movie like that, you obviously need to have scripted improv. I think at the beginning it starts that way. And then in like, there's a scene there later improv shows, but I felt like they just let the actors just go with it. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay, I'm interested. I'll check Japanese Netflix. They, I don't know, they're kind of weird on what they put on there and what they don't. But yeah, I'll be looking for it.
Got on.
Also recommend Hail Caesar if you still haven't seen it.
Oh, I still haven't. Oh no, I need to.
But I was looking through the list of releases. In 2016. And there was, I mean, Flynn's not wrong. There was a lot of garbage.
A lot of garbage.
There was.
Yeah. But for every, well, no, not for every, because there was a lot of garbage. But there was a lot of really good stuff.
For every bag of garbage, there was one.
For every bag of garbage, there was some untouched coffee that you could dig in and get.
Of the movie, I mean, this year was a busy year for us, so we missed a lot of the, like, non-super major release. So my list is pretty sad. I mean, it's probably Deadpool, Captain America, Finding Dory.
Warcraft.
No, never saw that.
No, I mean,
I want to see.
You can say
I
that,
see Moana.
But we all know you did.
Yeah, I want to see that, too.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
I'm a big The Rock fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's hilarious in his older age.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Did you say The Rock?
Yeah, I'm a big The Rock fan.
One of my favorite movies with him was with Sean William Scott, The Rundown. I like that movie.
Really? I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either, but...
What was that now? Like six or 7 years ago, they made that movie. With Christopher Walken as the bad guy, so...
Oh, guys, do you know that... Kevin Smith came out with a movie this year.
What? No.
Yeah, he came out with a movie called Yoga Hosers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a spinoff of Tusk, which no one saw.
Yeah,
it seems like including him too. Don't ask. It's not worth talking about. If you want to look it up on your own, go for it. I don't recommend it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that.
You're better off.
That's fair. I think you got everything you need to from the trailer. And that was for Tusk. No, I don't think I saw anything for Yoga Hosers.
Again, I don't think anybody did either.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird, too, that, you know, 2016 is not over with, and I feel that there's some movies coming out that could be also pretty good.
Star Wars?
Yeah, Rogue One.
Rogue One is obviously something that comes to the front of everybody's mind, for sure.
Ally,
but also
looks pretty
good. But also, like, Oscar contenders, like, I am interested to seeing Collateral Beauty with Will Smith.
What's that one about?
I don't know the full details, but supposedly it's about him writing letters to death, and he signs it from different other things like time and love, and then all of a sudden different people come up to him and say, "Hi, I'm time. Hi, I'm love." And they kind of interact with him in different ways. So
it's him coping with grief.
There we go. Oh. Yeah. There's the hidden message there.
It's not really hidden. They kind of blow it in the trailer, so.
That's true.
Hey, no one mentioned Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, how about that?
Which we just reviewed.
Yeah, we did.
Again, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry that we didn't blame Aaron in the first place.
That should be the default reaction.
Aaron, how
sorry about Aaron.
That's what I do whenever I see him, guys. So you guys don't have to see him on it like an every week basis. It's fine.
What else came out? So we had Doctor Strange, which was pretty good.
Star Trek Fast and Furious.
Yeah, what? Star Trek Fast and the Furious.
Wait, I thought you said that's a combo movie, like Star Trek Fast and Furious. Like,
yeah, I did.
What's that movie?
Yeah. It is. Star Trek, The Fast and the Furious.
So you saw that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Popcorn movie. Good enough.
Yeah, I thought it was good as a popcorn movie. I thought it was like a slightly dumber Next Generation episode.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Star Trek when it's the TV style. Like, I don't need a ship to plunge off a cliff to get jump started to get me excited about space.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe. But I mean,
good.
Yeah, it's just a popcorn movie. I mean, I'm not going to like fault it for being a blockbuster movie when that's what it's being advertised as.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, that concludes our movie thing. And so I think the last item on our docket today will probably be talking about Pokemon.
Yay.
So, Brad, you've beaten Pokemon Sun?
Can you really beat Pokemon?
I guess you beat the story.
Yeah, I beat the main story.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I'm champion.
Like I haven't gotten that far into it at all. But so how would you rank it? Because it seems like the game is a lot more kind of just relaxed in tone.
Oh, it's streamlined. They seems like they had a lot of fun with it. Like,
yeah.
Like I don't know if you have probably read a lot of the Pokédex descriptions. You can just go online and read them, but some of them are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, like the one for Metapod is like fucked up.
The innards, yeah.
Yeah, it needs to keep it. Like, I can't remember it, but basically the shell is there so its innards don't leak out.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do anyway.
Yeah, it's great stuff. They clearly had a lot of, like, if the more you get into the game, like, some of the NPCs say just really ridiculous things. Like, I don't know, there was someone in the game where, like, it indicates there was, like, home abuse. Like, there's bent golf clubs, and the guy's like, "I tried to beat him up, but he beat me up instead."
Oh, God.
I was like, well, I'm sure kids are just going into the house and being like, oh, nothing's here. Or like, I got an item here, and then leaving and not thinking about it. For me, I was like sitting there like, huh.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. It's probably the best Pokemon game. They've streamlined a lot of the post championship game process, like breeding and filling up your Pokedex and trading, strengthening is all easier. Catching shiny Pokemon is a little bit easier. Still frustrating, but much easier in the long run. So yeah, I think it's really good, really solid game. So I'm still playing it. That's keeps me busy while I'm searching for a job, while I'm waiting for job postings.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Flynn, Doug, do you guys play Pokemon?
I mean, I haven't picked up a Pokemon game since, you know, Pokemon Blue in like what, fourth grade.
What do you think, you're better than me?
Generally speaking, yes. The answer is always yes to that question. I like Doug. Can we keep Doug around? This is a lot of fun. Can we adopt Doug?
How about you, Doug?
Oh, wow. Honestly, the last...
I know how much Pokemon of a gamer game. You are. I've seen your gaming rig. It's massive. Water cooler.
Doug, it's okay to just say no. You don't have to play along.
No, you have to play.
Okay, I'm not going to play along with this shit. No. the last Pokemon game I played was on the old Nintendo 64, I believe. That was a very long time ago. Everybody tried to convince me, all my friends around here convinced me to try to play Pokemon Go, and I just was like, meh.
Yeah, that was my reaction to it as well. That's cool, I guess, but I have literally anything else I'd rather be doing.
That's, yes, agreed. I 100% on that.
And yeah, so like, Brad, do you know if that's still around? Is that like?
It's around.
It's still pretty popular for a smartphone game. It's not the ridiculous.
Oh yeah, no, it's not like people are getting arrested.
Yeah. It's calmed down. It's a normal, successful mobile game now.
Oh, okay.
So, it's just the thing. I mean, it's back to where it's probably still doing better than it should as a game.
Yeah, it was just for like those couple of months, it was everywhere.
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible beginning, especially for like what the game was.
Yeah.
Conversations in Portland went down to an all-time low in the summer when that game was released.
Yeah.
I don't think it was just limited to Portland, man. That was like
everywhere. Okay, you're right. I apologize for limiting the circle there. there's this one, I went to a Brewers Festival this summer with some friends, and we took a lunch break, and everybody was on their phone except for me. I was like, are we having a conversation? No, everybody's just trying to catch a Pokemon around Kells. All right, cool. That's fine.
did they catch him?
Kells is in a pretty good spot. I mean, you can get a lot, because that's near the waterfront, so you get some water.
Pokemon. You can get them all, but not really.
Well, they had it. That was pretty smart of the way they had it kind of locked down, like for regions. Because I think you could only get like Mr. Mime in France. Is that right?
Mr. Mime France, Farfetch'd in Japan or Asia, Tauros in the U.S. is I think what it is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like. It's a great idea, especially for people that like collecting monsters as a form of entertainment. But in the end, it was really just paper toss the game. Yeah. It was just paper toss Pokemon.
Yeah, and it did kind of come down to just who has the better Vaporeon.
Yeah, there's a, I mean, like in every game, there's kind of a metagame going on now, but who cares? It's just,
well, we have that, we have that group chat, and a couple of the people on there were unhealthily obsessed with it.
Like who?
Barton. He had like a spreadsheet, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, but he does that for everything.
Oh, okay.
So that doesn't really Fair enough. He gets into, he really gets into. So
yeah,
we got to bring him on. That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, what is he up to these days?
Well, let's set it up, man.
he runs
this shit without me, so
yeah. He runs his, like, he took over the printing company.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. He's his father. Well, he and Paul.
Oh.
But yeah, we'll try to get on like a boss podcast. What's it like to be boss?
Well, good. Let's do it. Though in the much more immediate future, can I put Luke Cage on the docket finally for next week?
Oh, you finally got through it.
Getting there. We got a couple more episodes, so by the time we record next.
Yeah. Brad, are you able to get Luke Cage over there?
I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix. I'm checking right now.
I will reserve my thoughts, but it's very good. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Oh, that was another thing my brother and I were talking about in terms of like kind of how the Marvel movie and TV series kind of operate against each other, where it seems like, at least for the Netflix shows, those are centered just around neighborhoods, and they're small and reasonably scaled, and the Marvel movies are just explosive and everywhere. And so, like, the TV shows are pretty refreshing in that regard, because you're not hopping from New York to Tibet to London back to New York. You're just going around blocks in Harlem.
Well, save it for next week.
Okay!
You're ruining good discussion matter, Jesus.
All right. We'll save that for next week. Or, well, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we'll wrap it up. Final thoughts, anyone? No.
I'm glad
good.
I could join.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Fidel Castro is a hero.
He is. He is the greatest hero of all time. He is the time hero.
He is the time hero.
Yes.
Thanks for having me on this week. Hopefully I'll provide some insight on banking. Probably not, though. Everybody just go back to normal.
I mean, you confused me more than anything else.
Your biggest contribution was the bashing of Aaron.
You know, I thought about coming in and just doing that entirely, just skipping over everything that I do in work, and yeah.
Just insulting me. Yeah, that's good. That's fine. That's why I have, like...
You know, that's why I listened to this show basically on Flynn and Brad's takes, and Aaron's just a seat filler, in my opinion. So,
oh God. All right, listeners. I guess it's been fun. I'm gonna, yeah.
Well, you would just end it there with Aaron's.
Yeah.
I don't know, Flynn, do you want to do the outro stuff?
No, I like the whisper. All right. I like the whisper.
All right, so we'll just leave it there then. That's good.